follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
One hour on tap. Coming up in 30 minutes, Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of Circa Las Vegas in studio. They have a promotion coming up in July. What if I told you can drink for free while having several chances of winning $500? How about that? This guy really knows how to do it. In pocket plays. We'll get to U.S. Open and NBA Finals here as Wes Reynolds joins the program now. He is on the Progressive guest line. He is a lifelong Hoosier slash Pacer, if you will. And he is going to be in attendance tomorrow night for Game 3 of the NBA Finals. That's how you do it, Wes. Great job out of you.
No, I'm excited to be back. It's been 25 years. We ran into a duo named Shaq and Kobe last time we were in the NBA Finals. So hopefully this goes better than the last time I was in attendance.
Yeah, I would say so. Shaq was pretty damn good in that series, as I recall.
Or Rick Smith was a crash test dummy.
Yes, he was. That dunk on top of him, I think, that one that really comes to mind. So what do you have in pocket as of right now in terms of series bets, and what do you plan on having in pocket when you're going to be watching the game live tomorrow night?
Yeah, I did bet the Pacers before the series at 5-1. That was more of a homer play. That was kind of a do as I say, not as I do with that, just because I didn't want to bet the Thunder. I want to bet my hometown team to win. So that's not how I usually do it. But for tomorrow night, I think 5.5 is a little bit high on this. And I'm not surprised that it's moved toward the Thunder, because all the talk has been about, well, they've led, 46 out of the 48 minutes in this series. Then they've been totally dominant, which I guess is a fair point. But this is different. They're at home and they're a 68-win team. So you would expect in game two, after they let game one get away, that they were going to take care of business. And they did in relatively comfortable fashion. But as I was talking with Paul over the break before we came on here, Oklahoma City, not exactly road warriors on the road in the playoffs, if you really look at it. Go back to even the Memphis series, where Memphis was totally outclassed. In game number three, Oklahoma City was down at the end of the third quarter, had to come back. They outscored them in the fourth, 27-13, to win by six. And then they won by two in the closeout game in game number four. Then you look at the Denver series. They went 1-2, including a double-digit loss. They split in Minnesota, where the one was the blowout in game number three, 143-101. And then where they won by two in that great game four before they closed it out at home in five. So I'm not really convinced that Oklahoma City is just, it's just going to be a wrap now that they won game two in comfortable fashion, that this is just going to be one-way traffic. I don't think so tomorrow night. I think that crowd's going to be live. I expect that the Pacers are going to make the adjustments and get Tyrese in space a little bit, because he had no space, and that's courtesy of really good defense from Oklahoma City. So I am going to have 5.5 with the Pacers. I don't know if we reach six, so I may grab that now. And then a couple props on the Oklahoma City side. I'm willing to sell off Aaron Wiggins after that big game in game number two, where he had 21, 7-10. He just got on a heater. But if you look at the 28 possessions when he faced Mathurin and Shepard and Neesmith, he was 0-3 on field goal attempts. And those are the guys that are going to be guarding him in those minutes. So he was under 6.5, and I believe five straight, and then 7 of 8 before the game two barrage, where he had 21. So I'm willing to sell off Aaron Wiggins on the under points, and probably the Lou Dort as well. Remember Lou Dort in game one hit those 5 threes. And then in game number two, he had 3 shots, because Lou Dort is going to be focused all on defense. He's going to be focused on doing what he did to Tyrese Halliburton in game number two. So he's going to be expending all his energy on defense. So I like Dort under Pra, and I believe that's still 13.5 out there. And also Aaron Wiggins under 6.5.
What else would you do if you're Carlisle? There's been a lot of talk about shortening the rotation, which I don't agree with. I think that's their strength, and to use their depth, and especially if you want to push the pace. You're right. You got to get more aggressive and more space for Halliburton. But is there anything else you think Carlisle could do, and maybe others, the supporting cast that you trust or don't trust for Indiana?
Well, I don't think shortening the rotation is the answer either, because I think that that's where, you know, because the Thunder now, finally, the Pacers have a team that they're facing that I think are just as deep with the Thunder. Mm-hmm. So you have to match that in some kind of way. And quite frankly, your bench guys, I think, by and large, have earned trust in the playoffs. Obi Toppin, Benedict Mathurin is starting to play better after he really struggled to start the Knicks series. Thomas Bryant's given him good minutes. They've had so many guys give him contributions off the bench. I think in terms of adjustments, what you want to see the Pacers do, when I think that they're at their best, is not only trying to get in transition, which Oklahoma City, to their credit, took away in game number two, you got to attack the paint. You got to attack the rim. You got to attack Chet Holmgren. And look, some of your shots may get blocked. He is a very tall man with long arms, but you got to attack him. You got to attack Hartenstein. I think if you attack the paint, that's what spreads out the defense when they go with that five out look, because that's what the Pacers have, is they got five guys out there, whether it's Halliburton, whether it's Nesmith, Nembhard, Pascal, Siakam, Miles Turner, they can all shoot the three, so they can play that five out, but you got to get to the rim and you got to attack the paint. And that's what you saw in game number two when they cut that to 13 in the fourth quarter, when I think they had a 7-0 run, Nembhard got to the bucket, Siakam got to the bucket. And much has been discussed, I think, of Tyrese Halliburton and, you know, the quote-unquote no-show in game number two, where he didn't get off to a good start, and he got a lot of his points in garbage time. Not a lot of talk about Pascal Siakam. He's got to be more aggressive, because he's the one that's going to have the mismatches, I think, in the paint. Because I don't think Holmgren can guard him, and I don't think Hartenstein can guard him. So that's where you got to attack, and I think you just got to attack the rim. Maybe not be as reliant on the three, because I think if you do attack the rim, those three-point attempts are going to be there that they knock down in game number one.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Wes Reynolds, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. He'll be at game three, tomorrow night, Pacers and the Thunder in Indiana. And so what do you think about the pace here in the game and the overall total at 228.5? Because the game two first half total closed, like it was finished at 100. It was 59-41. And then it exploded in the second half and the game went over. Are we going to have more of that for a full game that we saw in the second half? Or do you like the under?
I think we're probably going to have more of that full game. And I know that, you know, when you get kind of a tough beat, because the under was absolutely the right play and you get a tough beat, bettors, I think, are inclined to go back on that, because bettors want to be right. It's not just winning the money. It's the idea of being right, as Scott Van Pelt always says. But I think that that might be a little bit of a mistake here to be able to do that. I think if this is a Pacer game, this is going to be, I think, a higher scoring game. And, you know, the ones on the road against Denver, except for, I believe, game number six, did go under. But we saw the games in Minnesota on the road for the Thunder, 244 and 254 in those two games. And then you even look in the Memphis series, 232 and 222. So I think the Pacers, with the pace that they can play and if they can get going, I think that this is going to be a little bit more of a track meet in game number three. So I'd be more inclined to be on the over 228.
Okay. I have a bet on Nesmith over 2.5 made threes, plus 130. I like the volume so far. 15 combined attempts in the first two games. And as I said earlier, that's not like it was 10 in one game and 5 in the other. It was 8 and 7 in those first two games. I think that's going to continue. And if you're right, if he's going to take 7, 8, maybe 9 threes, Wes, for a pretty good shooter here, I think I got to play over 2.5 at plus money.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, Mitch. And he's always in that dunker spot right in the corner where Oklahoma City has left him, has left them, those guys open. The Pacers on corner threes, that's what they try to get. Those are the shots that they ultimately want to get, whether it's Nesmith, whether it's, you know, when Tyrese drifts out or when Miles Turner or Pascal, that's what they want to get, are those three-point shots, I think, in the corner. So Nesmith over threes, Nesmith over points, rebounds. I think I saw 17.5 as the number earlier today. I could certainly sponsor that, because they'll get him going and they'll trust him. That's the thing about the Pacers that I think a lot of maybe outsiders that don't really follow the team all year round don't understand. They trust all these guys. It's not just a Tyrese thing. It's not just Pascal. They trust all these guys to take those shots, and they're not scared to take those shots, whether it's Nesmith, whether it's Nembhard, Turner, Obi Toppin off the bench, Ben Mathurin. None of those guys are scared, and I think when the Pacers are playing that freewheeling style, that's when they're at their best. But in order to be able to do that, like I said just a moment ago, got to attack the paint.
Would it feel like this huge upset if they pull this off? Like, do you think Indiana's getting their just due? And do you think it would, as people are pointing out, OKC could win 84 games if this would be this unbelievable upset if they're able to pull this off? Do you feel that way if it happens?
Well, to answer your first question, Paul, I don't think that the Pacers are necessarily getting their just due. And that's part and parcel of the fact that, you know, small market and, you know, that people aren't interested. Well, if people aren't interested, they're missing really good basketball, I think, in this series. But also with Oklahoma City, look, this is a team that won 68 games. However, You know, they kind of, I think, were being priced a little bit like they're the 91 or 92 Bulls or something here.
Yep.
You know, like let's slow down a little bit. Oklahoma City, you know, maybe I'll say I'm from Missouri and you got to show me on the road, I think, in this series. And I think that they still have to show that. I know a lot of the national media are kind of writing the Pacers obituary, I think, prematurely already. So, yeah, I think that the Pacers aren't getting their just due necessarily. And I would expect, all out, lay it on the line here in game number three. Now, if they lose and they lose somewhat comfortably, then you could say, okay, this is a wrap.
Yep. Okay. Wes, you're awesome on golf. Long Shots is a podcast here on VSiN coming out later on today. Been around for a long time. You've been on it for several years. We have about a minute left here. We'll continue with one more segment out of you and get your best bets. But what do you think the finishing score is going to be for the winner? Are we talking around even par?
I think we might be, Mitch. And last time out, I think, what was DJ? I believe he was four.
Yep.
Back in 2016. And that was because of a penalty shot. He should have been probably five or six. But yeah, this rough, not only it's the typical U.S. Open rough where it's 5 inches thick, but these greens are going to be like putting on glass, guys. These are going to be 15 on the stint meter for the weekend. Even if they do get some weather, they have the sub-air system. They can dry these out, so they're going to keep their speed all weekend. So I would probably say, and I'm usually horrible in full disclosure at picking the exact score here, but I think maybe 200 par is your winner here on Sunday.
Wow. Okay, so then based on that, and that's right around the prop, by the way, how many players in this field at this course can get to 2 under and win this thing? We'll get his best bets next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Big fan of the U.S. Open. I do like watching these guys go out there, and it's difficult for them. You know, they struggle a little bit. They want to throw a golf club. They want to swear, and they finish right the tournament at like 6 over, and they have a chance to actually be like in the top five or, you know, who knows what. I don't like these tournaments that are 25 under and there are 10 guys in the mix. I don't like them. We have too many of those on the tour. And so I love the U.S. Open as a result of that. And we continue talking about that right now with VSiN's very own Wes Reynolds. The podcast, by the way, is called Long Shots. It's out as we speak. You guys recorded it earlier today, so I highly recommend that you go check that out as well, available wherever you get your podcasts. You said before the break that you think maybe 2 under is going to win this thing, and I said to you then during the break, doesn't it feel like Bryson DeChambeau was kind of born to play and win these kind of events, and you have him on your betting card this week? Why do you like Bryson?
Yeah, at a little better number, I would still play the 750 that I think is widely available. But Bryson just, I think he has the temperament for this U.S. Open. And I think he's somebody, he's not a player that I think, look, all professional golfers can kind of bitch and moan a little bit about conditions. But he's a guy that I think really embraces the challenge. You know, he's the scientist. He likes to try to figure it out. There's a great video, by the way, on his YouTube page where I embedded in the article that's up at VSiN.com, where he was playing the practice round with some of his team there at Oakmont last week. And we know the science that he does. You know, what he does with his golf balls and soaks his golf balls, and he's kind of a quirky guy. He's also a little bit more of an artist than I think he's given credit for, because there's always like, is he an artist or is he a scientist? And he's always been designated as a scientist, but I think he's a little bit more of an artist when you look at him around the green. And that's the part of his game that I think gets ignored. We know he can bomb the hell out of it, and he hits pretty solid iron shots, but it's what he does around the green. Let's not forget, even though I was on Rory McIlroy last year at Pinehurst, that Bryson DeChambeau had to get up and down from 50 yards out of that bunker there at 18 to be able to make par and win the thing. So he's able to do that. He's a pretty good putter on these fast greens too, that are going to be about 15 on the stimp. And he's also very creative in terms of how he approaches. You know, he'll play those bump and runs. He's very good at chipping out of the thick stuff. So Bryson, I think, has a more complete game than a lot of people want to admit. And I would not be shocked if he goes back to back here at the U.S. Open.
Okay. What do you think of Rahm, and what do you want to do with him?
Yeah, I did play Rahm. Circa, by the way, behind you guys, went up to 1350 yesterday, and that's the highest I think I saw it get, and that's where I grabbed it. I'd still go 12 to 1. Rahm was in the thick of it in a major championship for the first time in about a year and a half last month at Quail Hollow at the PGA. Remember when he was tied with Scottie Scheffler and Scottie was making the turn. And then Rahm is like, well, you know, this isn't going to be good enough. This is Scottie Scheffler after all. So I got to go for broke. And he did on the green mile, and he went broke because he went five over his last three holes and finished T8. I think Rahm getting back in the majors, that gets his juices flowing a little bit. Look, he's now comfortable with this decision, I guess, in going to live, but it feels like we don't ever see his best necessarily on that tour, even though he's never finished outside the top 10 in any of those events. He was low amateur here in 2016, where he finished 23rd, shot really well over the weekend to win that distinction. But I think John Rahm, his juices are kind of getting flowing, being back in the thick of it. Played very solid at the Masters, ended up 14th, but it was kind of like he was out of sight, out of mind last year because he was really bad by his standards in the majors. But this is where I think he can get going, and he's won on these classical U.S. Open designs before. Remember, he won at Torrey Pines a couple years ago, which is a substantially longer course than Oakmont, but he's a guy that I think loves the grind of the U.S. Open, and I think we're going to see that this week.
By the way, a possible interruption over the weekend with some inclement weather. Are we looking at maybe thunderstorms in that area?
Could be. I think on Saturday is when we're going to get our best chance. Okay. Not a lot of wind this week, so the wind's not going to play, a heavy role. But it looks like Saturday afternoon, I think the initial forecast I saw was in like the 70% range. So you're going to get some kind of storm. I think there might be periods on Sunday, but those are probably a little bit more intermittent. So we'll see if they can get this in or if maybe this goes into a Monday finish. But I do think we are going to get some kind of delay at some point on Saturday.
How about a couple mid-tier guys with Hovland 60-1 and Neiman 30-1?
Yeah, I'll start with Neiman. Neiman, I know, is kind of like, you got to show me in a major, bud, because he's never really done that. But he was T8 last month at the PGA. That was his first top 10 in a major championship. Look, maybe winning begets winning here because he's won four times. I know it's on LIV and there's only 54 players, but winning four times on any tour is winning four times. Won at Robert Trent Jones Golf Club last weekend in Virginia, which also have the POA greens, the POA Onwood greens, which this course here at Oakmont is going to have. So I think he's just got a little bit more confidence, but I understand maybe why he's a little bit lukewarm on the board because he hasn't really shown it in a major. And then Hovland at 60, I just played the price here because he's been so up and down this season, even though he won the Valspar in March. The main weakness, if you've ever watched Victor Hovland, and I know you guys have, is around the greens. That's always his weakness, especially when he has to chip off those tight lies and those short grasses. But if you look in his career, he has gained around the greens in 12 of 19 career major championship starts. So he's better chipping and punching out of that thick rough and that thick stuff around the green than those tight lies. Was third on a similar layout at Oak Hill for the 2023 PGA. So the guy does raise his level of his game in major championships, and I think he could on this setup at Oakmont.
Are you going to war with Xander?
I am. Yeah, I decided to, even though the form, you know, doesn't say so, but this is a guy at the U.S. Open, 7 of 8 career starts, he's been top 10 or better.
Damn.
Never finished lower than 14th. So what I would say first and foremost, bet that Xander top 20. And I think I'm seeing it like even money, minus 105, maybe minus 110. Kelly Bidlin talked about that on the Long Shots program. I think that's like a must bet for Xander because he finds a way. He likes the grind. Even though he was kind of like, oh, they don't want to see us shoot 8 over par, you know, but he's not a guy that I think really, you never really see him blow up necessarily. He's very stoic with his emotion. He's not as demonstrative, certainly, as like a John Rahm or a Bryson, but slow start this year with that rib injury first 2 months, but I think he's on the way back. He's gained tee to green, by the way, in each of his last 6 starts. So there is something I think to build on here, even though he's not in clearly as hot a form as he was this time last year when he's in between winning 2 majors.
All right. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Wes Reynolds, by the way, his overall card so far at this point is up at VSiN.com as well with who he wants in the outrights coming tomorrow. It'll be placement markets, matchups, props, and some other stuff that he looks at as well. Here you go. Harris English, Paulie. Someone else here. And yep. Wes is dynamite on the. Jeff Seeley came on an hour ago and said he likes Harris English. I know Jeff Sherman likes Harris English this week at the Westgate. Why do you like Harris English?
Well, first and foremost, I respect those two guys' opinions, so I'm glad to have good company there at least. But Harris English, last time we bet him at 100-1, remember that was at Torrey Pines South at the Farmers Insurance, and he did win that event, so hopefully the second time's a charm. T2 last month at the PGA, 12th at the Masters. He's got three top eights in the last five U.S. Opens. Remember when Rahm did win a couple years ago at Torrey Pines? Harris English was like right there because I was on Rahm and I was having to dodge this guy. So he was making me very nervous, but he's a grinder. He's got the game, I think, to compete here. He's going to be one of those guys that I think is a surprise down the board. But I'm going to go with the guy that's got a pretty good U.S. Open record, top 20 in strokes gained putting, top 20 in three-point putt avoidance on the PGA Tour. That's going to be very important. I think around the greens is even going to be more important than what, you know, the approach shots, because usually strokes gained approach is the number one category for me on a week-to-week basis. But I think it's going to be the greens that's going to maybe end some of these guys' chances and might keep Harris English alive based on how he's done this year.
Okay, right. 90 seconds. Fitzpatrick, who had a top 10 at the PGA, 125-1?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a flyer for me because he's been inconsistent. Remember, we were on him at Brookline in 2022 up there at the Country Club when he won on the same course where he won as an amateur for the USAM. He's one of the better putters out there on these really lightning fast greens. And that's what the players are going to see this week. And some guys take to those and some guys hate those. A lot of the Europeans usually like the slower greens, but Matt Fitzpatrick is actually better on the faster greens. T8 last month at the PGA showed me a little bit of something. So he's a guy I'm definitely willing to take a flyer on at triple digits.
So the bottom line is you're going to be cursing Scottie Scheffler's name on Sunday afternoon.
Basically what I've been doing the last month, where it's like, yeah, I'm going to try to beat the favorite. I'm like at Del Mar trying to beat the Baffert 3-5 here or something in the sixth race. And I'm going to try to beat Scottie Scheffler. And how's that been working out? Not very well over the last month.
Are you fading Rory in matchups?
I don't know yet. I'm not going to back him though. Okay. I just think he's still kind of in that post, you know, Grand Slam, you know, I guess triumph, if you will. And then he got questioned about the driver testing, how it did at the PGA. So I'm a little bit down on Rory. I know the market is in terms of the matchups that I'm seeing.
Very good. Hey, Wes, good, that was awesome. Have fun at the game tomorrow night, by the way, and good luck at the U.S. Open bets as well.
You too, guys. Safe travels to Omaha.
Thank you.
Thank you. There you go.
Get in on the action. First bet as you covered. Sign up now. Exclusive promotions. Bet on hundreds of great horse races every day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. Promo code VSIN200. 20% rebate for all your wagers. First 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today. Firstbet.com.
Derek Stevens, owner, CEO, Circa Las Vegas. Up next, what if I told you you can drink for free while having several chances at winning $500? How about a chance every 90 seconds? Details next.
Is Follow the Money on VSEN.
A lot to get into with Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of Circa Las Vegas. He makes his weekly appearance here every single Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 out here on the West Coast. Good to see you again. How are you today?
Great. Great to see you guys.
You love the College World Series. You're taking a lot of people back to Omaha, including us, tomorrow. We're going to be broadcasting shows along with Money Moves Thursday. Friday we'll be broadcasting, Saturday as well. This is going to be a great event. You know, a lot of people have this on their bucket list to be there. Are you stoked at the field here? This is absolute chaos, what's going on.
I love it. Eight teams that didn't make it last year. People are coming out of the woodwork. I just went online just to see. My assistant booked all of our hotel rooms, right? You know, we're staying at the Omaha Hilton, kind of where a lot of teams stay, like right in the hub of everything. I wanted to go see what the room rates look like. Like, almost everything was sold out. And then I saw, well, there's a couple of rooms available. The prices were ridiculous. So I think all these teams had a lot of pent-up demand that you're going to see them all showing up. And then with all the younger people, you know, that pack 4-6 to a room. I mean, it's going to be something. Omaha's going to be packed, so we're looking forward to it.
Only two from the SEC. When they got 13 bids, would you sign up for a Murray State Coastal Carolina final? State 700-1?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we have? What do we have Murray at right now? We have Murray at plus 29. Is it plus 29.50 right now?
They have to, because they're in the same thing as same bracket as LSU and Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean they're in the tough bracket. Yep. That's the tough thing. That's where in a lot of ways. I kind of like Coastal. Coastal's on the other side of things, you know? And think about these matchups are going to be great. I mean, leading off with Arizona. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arizona got pounded by North Carolina 18-2 in the first game and came back and beat them. Yeah, North Carolina was playing unbelievable baseball.
Yeah. Who would have thought Arizona? Yeah, who would have thought after that game one of the Super that Arizona would be in this mix? I mean, that's probably why these room rates went up. There wasn't a single Arizona fan that was booking a flight until they knocked him out.
Pat Forty, who works for Sports Illustrated, did his rankings for the Jello Shot Challenge fans. He has LSU fans number one.
Yeah.
He says no one gets after it like LSU fans.
Yeah, I mean, if let's just say this is the Jello Shot odds right now.
Uh-huh.
I did an interview at ESPN down in New Orleans a little while ago. LSU's a minus favorite. I mean, they're probably minus 125 over the field.
Over the field.
Yeah. Look at 40. The Wooden Era UCLA fan base of drinking. He calls it. Check in at number one. Arkansas number two.
I've never seen this before. Uh-huh. I've never seen this. I definitely would have put Arkansas at two.
Uh-huh.
And based upon some inside information from Kevin and his wife, you know, they own Rocco's.
Yeah,
where it's at. They said, do not overlook Coastal. When Coastal was there 10 years ago, they came out of the woodwork.
Beautiful.
They
love
traveled.
Hearing that.
They travel. I like that. Teal is real.
Now, how about this? He also put UCLA 8th, and he said it feels like a high noon seltzer crowd.
Oh,
that's a
boy.
Shot, huh?
That's a shot.
Now, you guys have high noon here. I like some of the flavors, actually. They're not bad. But, ooh, boy. And now, did you guys think about this? The now defunct Pac-12? Would have three teams this year.
Oh, my God. Oregon Good State, call. UCLA, and Arizona. Yeah.
How about that?
That's unbelievable. Yeah, I never looked at it that way. You're right.
Yeah. Man.
So on the early money, you know, this is an important event to shop around a little bit. There's a lot of shops that have Arkansas as a favorite. Some have LSU as a favorite. It's flip-flop back and forth. Now we've moved to Arkansas as a favorite.
We did.
But we also just took a guy that walked in about 27.5 on the no Arkansas because we're offering the no's. So currently we've got Arkansas at plus 215. They were at plus 220 earlier this morning. We took Arkansas money, and then a guy just came in and bet the no. Now LSU is a second choice at plus 230.
Really? Okay. All right. Very good. What is going on here at Circa on July 19th? Where you can drink for free, and then you have a chance at winning like $500 every 90 seconds?
Yeah, you know, we did this thing the other night on Tim Murray's show. You know, Wilbo was over here, I was here, and we screwed up the math. It's like we're giving away, they made it more difficult than it should be. It's like $500 every 90 seconds.
Yeah.
So
for 15 minutes?
What?
Is it for 15 minutes?
So that's $1,000 every three minutes, right? It's like $15,000, I think is what the total is. So that's how they're doing it. It's just in hot seats. So we're trying to do something.
You're trying to fill up every machine.
We're trying to do something called Slotapalooza. In the middle of summer, we're coming up with something here. We want to try to get everybody in the casino, and we're trying to get everybody on a machine. And we got giveaways throughout the day, bars, but there's this period of time that our crack staff came up with this great idea of let's give away free drinks at every bar in the whole joint for 2 hours. Okay, that'll probably bring people in, I would bet. You know, it's going to happen. And then after this opening hour of a cocktail party, find your seat. You better find a seat because then we're going to go crazy on these hot seats. And the goal is to try to get every machine in play. We didn't go the route of Guinness because too complicated and licensing. We're just trying to have a lot of fun here. There's 1,312 slot machines inside of Circa, so we bought 1,312 shirts to say you're part of the 1312 club if you happen to be here that day. And we're giving away a lot of money if you're playing.
July 19th.
There we go. Slotapalooza.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Does anything go at the bar?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be beer and mixed drinks and things like that. It won't be Louis. It won't be, you know, it'll be, man. You know, there's a threshold. I got to get our beverage guys that say nothing. Good. But no, it'll be all beer, wine, and mixed drinks, soft drinks, stuff like that.
Great job. Santa Claus again. Nuts. Okay, so how the Greg Maddux poker tournament and also the weekend with the family feud. How did that turn out? How'd the poker tournament go?
How fun was that? I played in the poker tournament last year, played this year. It was a lot of fun. Mike Palm did a great job running this show.
Yes, he did. Yep.
This was like a turbo. I mean, these blinds were like, hey, blinds are 500, 1,000. Hey, blinds are 1,500, 3,000. Hey, blinds are now 6,000, 12,000.
Yeah. 10-minute level.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. It was fun. You got to get some cards when you're playing in a turbo. But we all had a good time. You guys both lasted a good while.
I was at the table with Greg Maddux, and then before I could even say hello and whatever and say loved you with the Cubs, I was knocked out. I open-ended straight flush draw and Buckets. Steve Buckets knocked me out. And I could have tripled up, and then you lasted longer than I did.
Well, Derek and I got knocked out on the same hand.
Yeah.
Bob here, a local who's an awesome guy, listens to VSiN all the time. He had two pair. Right? Yeah. I think he drew a deuce on the flop because we had kings going in, and he took me down as a result of that. And that, I think he must have, triple or quadrupled his stack at that point. I mean, it was a huge hand that he took down.
He took that hand that he took all of our chips, and he used that to launch him to, he got to the final table.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he finished third. He did
very good.
Right.
You took a bad beat. I walked over, you had three queens. You got knocked out. A guy had a flush, river to flush.
Yeah, that's what. And then and I got Scott Boris is at the other end of the table. Boris, he's like, I don't know how to play. He was sitting there for a lot longer than I was.
Yeah,
he was an interesting character. I was really trying to push him a little bit. You know, he said, "What do you think about?" I'm like, "What am I going to do? I'll negotiate you? Come on, you're the king." The guy's the best negotiator in the world. Yeah. You know, all I kept saying is, "I'm like, I'll tell you what." Scooble wants to stay in Detroit no matter what you say. No matter what you say, Mr. Boris.
Good move.
Yeah. I will say this. You're right. Playing poker, especially turbocharged like that, it was the afterburners were on immediately. It's every 10 minutes you're changing the ante. If you don't have cards, like you can't bluff these guys because they're – right? I mean, it's like they had – maybe it's because of the table I was at to begin. They had hands every single time.
Yeah.
So if you have deuce 4, 3-7, you're SOL.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I think we're going to keep growing this. That was a great event. That was a great weekend. All weekend long, all these guys hanging around. Johnny Gumbs, what a character this guy is.
As soon as I walk up, it's Fred McGriff, the crime dog.
Yeah, crime dog's
Vince,
there.
I saw Vince Coleman.
Yeah, Vince Coleman. Dwight Hicks from the 49ers. Great Michigan guy, too, hanging around.
Do baseball players retire out here, play golf, that kind of thing? Or are they Arizona, Florida?
They're all like Greg's buddies and stuff like that. Yeah. He just has an unlimited amount of celebrities. Hey, you want to come out, want to hang out for a few days? We're going to do this, that, have a good time, and bust each other's chops a little bit. This was fun.
The open bar and the free slot play, July 19th. Get down to Circa and always CircaLasVegas.com. Want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Full year, just $199, plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Applebaum. No-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter bets. Sign up now. Get the morning email from Bill 80, every best bet, every host, every guest. The betting splits DK and Circa, the dog videos, and our NFL betting guide, which drops July 1st. Limited time offer. Get it now. Code BOOK, promo code BOOK to sign up, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us as always. We appreciate that, and we're looking forward to tomorrow. See you in Omaha tomorrow night.
I'll see you in Omaha tomorrow night. See you on the shows.
There you go. Derek Stevens with us up next. We'll recap our bets from last night and tell you what we've added for tonight and this week with in-pocket plays next here on VSiN.
Determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1. You're
on. All right. Three games underway. Go to the bottom of the first in Baltimore. Detroit did not score. Likewise, Cincinnati didn't score in the top of the first at Cleveland. Guardians coming to bat and... one up, one down with Miami and Pittsburgh. Palante, K's under, was a winner. As the Blue Jays do not strike out, fewest K's in the league, so that got there. Trust the numbers. The pending, a plethora of pending as we're winding down here. No hat trick in the Stanley Cup, minus 190. No shutout, minus 120. Panthers win in six, plus 475.
How are you feeling about that one?
Good. Feel better about Bennett, 30-1, Conn Smythe. And again, thanks to Jonathan Davis, when we kicked around, how about Bennett most goals in the series? He said, don't do that, do Conn Smythe. And now he is plus 140 at DraftKings.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you hit this back-to-back with the Pacers, 19-1 to win the East, get the hell out of your way.
Bet that. Well, you got it. What do you got, 22?
No, I got 18 on him.
Got 18?
I don't have it. I didn't put it in pocket, but good. I got it 18-1.
Yeah. I added 22-1 also. Had to do that, too. 10-plus goals in a game, no, minus 170. NBA Finals under 5.5 games, minus 130. No hole-in-one. We start tomorrow. No hole-in-one. U.S. Open, minus 160. Back on a bus. Bed Griffin. It's his tournament. Everyone's playing for second. Top five, 9-1. To win it, 70-1. He was 80-1 at some spots last week. What a story.
I'll take the field at minus $2 if you're that confident.
Got that? Okay, you got it. I thought I had English. I got to add some English. Didn't I give English out? Damn, I got to take some top 10 with English. Boy, I've never seen a guy so popular, which is 100-1.
He's 55-1 at one book.
Oh, man. Shut
Please
him down.
Do not bet that.
Take their license. Going right back with Bob Saves over. How can you not? Again, he had, 31 saves last night. Edmonton's averaging more than 31 shots on goal last 18 games. Good sample size, unlike DeBoer's sample size. He keeps getting it done. Right back with saves over 26.5. This one again last night. Good job, Jonathan Davis and Dennis Bernstein. Ekholm over 1.5 blocks. That prop over 1.5 is 9-1 to the over. Last 10. Halliburton has to respond. Has to regroup and be aggressive. Over 17.5 points tomorrow. And Noah Cameron under 16.5 outs. The streak comes to an end. Only the second pitcher in MLB history to have his first five starts to go at least six innings and give up one earned run or fewer. Fernando did it seven straight times in 1981. Tough matchup, though, tonight against the Yankees, who are great against lefties.
Pretty good. Pretty good. By the way, ftm@beeson.com is the email. This is from Irv. Piggybacking your Conn Smythe ticket on Bennett. He actually has Marchand. Got it before the series, 95-1 at FanDuel.
Oh, God.
And he said, don't forget, I'm a huge Bruins fan.
Oh, yeah, good angle.
Paul, I don't think we realize, and we have a bunch of friends in, like, Canada and the Toronto area from when we did mornings for a long time. I don't think we realize how much they hate that guy from what he did to them over the years. Yeah, our buddy Ben in Nova Scotia.
I'm sure.
Said, most hated athlete in any sport of his life.
Wow.
Cannot stand the guy.
Yeah.
But he's a diehard Leafs fan because the guy just ripped his heart out so many times.
Yep.
So
95-1.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And he was 4-1 late last night, early this morning. Now we moved to +550 while we're on the show.
Okay, so I like the bets that are winners, like in the first inning, like last night, Freddie Freeman over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. That got done right away. So good one there. And I'm coming right back with Freddie Freeman again tonight. And I'll tell you about that bet coming up in a second. SGA under 33.5 points per game to average that in the entire finals. If it goes four games or seven games. So far, he's averaging 36, so he's got me at this point. Bets that I have on the U.S. Open from the previous month. Scheffler, I bet him at plus 480 on the Sunday when he was winning the PGA Championship. I bet Rahm this past Sunday at 14-1. I got DeChambeau 15-1 in the final day of the PGA Championship. And I'm also on Auber at 25-1. Other bets that I have... I like this bet. I was doing this with that Steven Yeager a lot when he was red hot earlier this year. You can find top five, top 10 first round markets. I'm going to go Harris English top 10 first round, 6-1. What do you think of that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Top 10 first round, 6-1 on him.
All right.
That's what I have for tonight. There's Freddie Freeman over 1.5 total bases.
Yep.
Small sample size. Very good numbers against Dylan Cease.
455.
There you go. The guy's red hot. I'll go to war with him at plus 116. I have to do it. I bet Mackenzie Gore over 6.5 Ks at even money. He's 11-2 over his K prop on the year, and he has been sailing over 6.5. Now, keep this in mind. The Mets are very good against lefties, and he only went over this number one time against New York last year when he faced him in three starts. But I have to bet him. I played Noah Cameron under 3.5 strikeouts tonight at plus 135. He's only struck out four or more once this entire year. Not a high K rate, and the Yankees are the best team against lefties in all of baseball. And tomorrow night, I have Aaron Nesmith over 2.5, made threes at plus 130. 15 attempts so far in the first two games. I think that continues tomorrow night.
How screwy are these schedules?
I don't like them.
Wednesday, Friday, Monday, NBA. Thursday, Sunday, if necessary. And then hockey is Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday?
Well, here's where they really screwed up, right? Like, first of all, the NBA could easily be playing tonight. It's not that far of a travel between Oklahoma City and Indiana. I get it, the dates are made in advance. But the NHL, so they played last night. They're going to play again Thursday in Florida, and they come back and play Saturday night at Edmonton? Like, what are we doing here?
Yes. That is weird.
That's asinine.
Yep. I didn't have a problem in the finals just because of the 2-3-2, which I know was put in a place when the Lakers-Celtics were always in the finals.
Did you
and
see?
And it was Jerry Buss who wanted it. But
there was a tweet making the rounds. It was like 41 years ago today. You know, it was a 41-year anniversary the other day of Jack Nicholson. He was on the court.
Smoking a cigarette. Yes.
At the Forum Center.
Yes.
He then caught the flight with the Lakers back to Boston, and it was a commercial flight back in 1984.
Oh.
Imagine being at LAX. Here comes Kareem, yeah. Magic, and one of the best actors of all time on the same plane together, going to go back to Boston. What?
Yeah, it's incredible. They're getting ready for the game, and they show him, and he's standing there, and he's smoking a cigarette. Hey,
he's
right
whacking
there.
Down a heater on the court.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Like, whoa, okay.
Yes. If you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or just like the thrill of calling your shot, need to check out XCUTTA, X-C-U-T-T-A, basically the future of how we play. Think of combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book with your crew. Email support at xcutta.com. Mention VSiN, and they'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. xcutta.com. xcutta. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade. xcutta.com.
I saw today that going down memory lane here, taking a trip, Joe Montana turned 69 years old today. You want to feel old?
Yeah.
Ouch.
He's a big boy. Freeman, 455 against Cease. Springer, 556 against Michaelis. Benson's 4 of 8.
Couple of dongs in there, right?
Couple of dongs. Frazier's 467 against Sandy. Giants have owned Colorado since 2021, 51-17. Number one in one-run games. Played 7 straight one-run games. They're 230 today on the road. Giolito's got an ERA of 10 and 4 starts at home. Fott's got an ERA of 11 last 5 starts. And Max Fried, after a Yankees loss, 6-0 with a 0.57 in 10 starts. Seager 0 for his last 25.
I should probably bet them tonight. The Yankees. Run line, 2.5 runs, something like that. I really think the dreamy start to the career for Noah Cameron is going to come to an end.
What's Abbott up to? Abbott, no problem in the first inning. 3-0 with an 0.58 ERA in May. Was bad the last time out. Third in ERA in the National League.
Yeah. I also think Ohtani has a game tonight, too.
Yeah.
He's got 3 home runs, okay. I believe, career off Dylan Cease. And Ohtani's kind of due. I'm not betting on the due theory, not telling you to do that, but I think he has I would not put it this way. I'm not going to be surprised if his numbers are going to be looking pretty sick tonight in the box score.
Yep.
So,
but
all right.
Mitch, what about the Jell-O? Talk to you Thursday from Omaha.
Yeah, we're off
Jell-O
tomorrow.
Jell-O shots. Traveling. Rocco's, baby.
This is very exciting. Yeah, make sure, obviously, if you're going to the College World Series, you got to swing by. Money Moves will be there doing their show at 11 o'clock. Central Time. We're going to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning as well. You got to swing by, say hello. And Paulie already committed to at least 10 Jell-O shots every night. So I hate to speak for the guy, but